Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. This is Mary Neal. I'm director of Human Rights Demand Blog Talk Radio Station. It's called Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass was a great abolitionist of the 1800s here in America. That was during the era where so many people were working together to try to abolish slavery. And Frederick Douglass said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will. Now, we act on that here at Human Rights Demand. We make a demand that human rights be respected and protected in the United States of America. Human rights. You know, America is one of the signers of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we also have the U.S. Constitution that promises protection for our civil rights. So Americans not only have civil rights, but we also have human rights. And they are both due to be respected and protected in America. I want to give you the telephone number to call in. The telephone number here at Human Rights Demand, all of our programs, is 347-857-3293. Again, our telephone number for you to call in and have your say at Human Rights Demand is 347-857-3293. You know, for a few months, we had a very gifted and educational host, and I believe he will rejoin us. Jenny Strozier has been adjusting to freedom after 46 years of incarceration. On July 31st, Jenny Strozier celebrated his first year ever as a free man in America. First year ever as a free man in America. And that was in his middle 50s. You see, Jenny Strozier was initially arrested at age 6 when he and friends broke into an Atlanta warehouse to steal cigarettes for family members and candy for themselves. 6 years old. How about that? He was incarcerated at age 10. Now, his sentence was limited to 90 years. After he cut a prison guard as a teenager in an adult facility. And his prison sentence was lengthened to 90 years. That's how Jenny Strozier went to jail at age 10 and ended up staying for 46 years. He kept getting his sentence lengthened. Okay, the thing is that Jenny Strozier would run away from the juvenile facility where he was incarcerated as a little boy. He and his friends would run away. I recently heard about a jailbreak at a juvenile facility in Nashville, Tennessee. And that made me think about Jenny Strozier because as a little boy who was in a juvenile facility, he would be the ringleader, he told us, and he and his friends would run away. So at 16, he was transferred to an adult facility. When he cut that prison guard, Jenny Strozier's warden told him that he would die in prison, but he did not. Strozier changed. Strozier became a Christian in the 1980s, and then he graduated from high school. He became a certified cook and a brick mason. And he got married, all of that while he was still in prison. You know, prison officials in the State Board of Pardons and Paroles recognized the change in Strozier, and they eventually paroled him. Since prison release, Strozier works, he counsels youth, and he attends church regularly. Strozier has many interesting stories to tell that inspire youth to avoid incarceration and motivate released prisoners not to recidivate. America's recidivation rate is something like 65%. I said to you that 65% of the released prisoners in America return to the legal system within 3 years of release. Now, I have Jenny Sturgis' email box, but I'm not sure it's attended, but it's there on Block Talk Radio for you to get. And you can also email me. My name is Mary Neal, otherwise known as Mary Loves Justice. And my email box is Mary Loves, L-O-V-E-S, Justice, @gmail.com. If I receive your email, I will certainly respond. So, we talk about recidivism in the USA on the Jenny Sturgis Keeping It Real show. I tell you right now that Mr. Sturgis sees no sense in young people ignoring their parents, ignoring their teachers, ignoring the wise elders in their community, and doing things that stand a chance of getting them locked up. Yes. You know, you can listen to Pharrell Williams and others sing songs like Young Nigga, what's that? Throw That Dope, Young Nigga. Throw That, Sling That Dope. That's what that song is, Pharrell Williams. You can listen to songs like that until it seems like it's normal for you to ignore your parents and ignore the elders in your community, ignore every Christian story, every Muslim warning, whatever religion. You can ignore all that and listen to Pharrell Williams sing Young Nigga, Sling That Dope if you want to. But what happens to people who ignore the law is not pretty and it is not funny. It is not pretty and it is not funny. So I say to you that you need to walk the straight and narrow if you will escape the prison industrial complex. And the same goes for people who are returning to society after being prisoners. It's harder for people who are returning from prison because society has withdrawn the assistance that could help them to live normal lives and have an income after prison release. Many times prisoners can't live with their relatives because they may have been arrested on vices like selling marijuana, selling crack cocaine, or possessing a certain amount of it. And then for certain drug offenses, you can't live in subsidized housing. You can't get food stamps. So you're cut off from the assistance that you could have had you not been arrested for those crimes. Also, prisoners who were arrested on certain offenses cannot get grants and loans and scholarships to go to college. They want to trap our people who are returning to society in the revolving door in and out of prison. But you can make it if you try. I tell you, that's an old song from the days when I was a teenager. You can make it if you try. So just pray and look for a job. You know, a lot of people tell you, man, they're not hiring. Man, they won't hire you with your record. And you feel so defeated that you don't even try. There are some good reentry programs available that help people to get back on their feet after prison. I admonish you to please go online and look for reentry programs in your area. The government is spending millions of dollars every year to have reentry opportunities available for people who are looking for the chance to improve their lives after prison. So please avail yourself of that information. You know, we've had some excellent psychologists on Human Rights Demand to talk to people about recidivism. We had Dr. Jean Kennedy, and we also had another excellent psychologist. And he said that every prisoner who's been released probably needs psychological help because they're all suffering from PTSD. He can say that because he was once a prisoner. This psychologist who now does psychological evaluations for the prison system, was once a prisoner himself. And so he went to college after prison. He went to he went and got his master's and doctorate in psychology after prison release. So you see, I know for a fact that you can make it if you try, because I have friends who have gone to great heights after prison release, but it takes something. You might have to make some sacrifices. You might even have to sacrifice some relationships with people that you care about. But if people you care about mislead you, they lead you to recidivate, they lead you back into the same situation that you just got out of, they are not really your friends, and you should part company with them. You know, Dr. Early said that one important thing is that released men and women need to find a good partner, a romantic partner. He said that's very important to a successful successful reentry. Excuse me. He said finding a good soulmate, a good partner, is very important to successful reentry. And Jenny Strozier confirmed that. He met and married a lady while he was still behind bars, and they are still married now. So try to form relationships with people who are not hoes, who are not pimps and gangsters. Try to find relationships with people who are not in the drug industry. You know, you need to form relationships with people who you might consider square. You might consider them too square to be around. But if you want to fly with the eagle, you can't fly with eagles while you're down on the ground pecking with the chickens. I heard that at a graduation ceremony for my niece and nephew. And out of that whole graduation speech, that's what I remember best. You can't fly with the eagles. You can't soar with the eagles while you're on the ground pecking with the chickens. So if you want to soar like an eagle, you need to give up some of your relationships and get with individuals who are soaring like eagles without looking over their shoulders. Oh, we know that there are some people who are into the gangster life, who are in gangs and who sell drugs and who are doing hip hop, singing all kinds of blasphemy, who are doing extremely well. And you might say, well, they're soaring with eagles. But listen at it. The difference is they have to look over their shoulders all the time. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I guarantee you that many, many rap artists have been killed. Many, many people slinging that dope, and it looked like they were very successful, are in jail now. Many, many friends of yours who you thought had it going on are now behind bars or 6 feet under pushing up daisies. So if you want to keep getting what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. But if you would like to change, if you would like a change in your life, then I tell you, square is the way. Work by the sweat of your eyebrow, and you will accomplish what you want. The Bible says you will accomplish what you put your hands to if you ask Him to bless what you put your hands to. And so I just want to let you know that there is another way to live. There's a way to be successful. There's a way to enjoy the peace of life, the blessings of life, and it does not involve looking over your shoulder, worrying every time a police car pulls up beside of you. It does not involve being scared, being nervous all the time because you know you're walking on the wild side. You can live long. The Bible says that with long life I satisfy thee. That's from God. So if you love yourself, you need to start acting like it. I'm a prisoner activist, but prisoner activists can only do so much. Yes, we talk to officials for you. for you who have gone to prisons and jails. We talk to the officials on your behalf. We try to get rid of laws that are responsible for mass incarceration, like the three strikes law and the law of parties and the 100-to-1 crack cocaine law. We try to make the playing field a little bit more level by trying to get tear down the wall between yourself and economic prosperity. We try, but you need to try with us. And you know, one thing you need to do is examine your associations and make sure you're only associating with people who will edify you and uplift your life and lead you into the way of righteousness, because you're not going to get far messing around with the same people who you knew before you were incarcerated. That's one way you can reduce recidivism. I want to introduce you now, in case you did not ever listen to Johnny Strozier, I want to play one of his tapes for you. I want you to know that my name is Mary Neal. I manage Human Rights Demand, Blog Talk Radio Show, also the Human Rights for Prisoners March. I manage that radio show that airs on Monday night on National Network in Action. I also am Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And we're getting ready to take the USA before the World Court for how mentally ill prisoners are treated. If you're exiting prison or jail, you know how the mentally ill are treated behind bars horribly. Some of them are brutalized and killed. So we're going to take that before the International Court in 2015. You can contact me by calling 678-531-0262 if they let your phone call through. I want you to know that at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight, I will be on the Center Stage broadcast. That Center Stage broadcast here at Blog Talk Radio, where we'll be discussing the Ebola virus. So if you're interested in talking about the Ebola virus and listening to people who might understand what's going on a little bit better than you, give us a listen. That's the Ebola virus on Center Stage at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. So I'm going to save my voice for that radio show, and I'm going to turn you on to Johnny Strozier right now. Johnny Strozier, as I told you, spent 46 years in Georgia prison system, where he spent 8 years in solitary confinement. He's been through many of the things that we know prisoners go through in America. He's been through those things, and he talks about it. He was the cellmate for Mr. Williams, his last cellmate in the Georgia prison system. That's the man who's accused of the child killings in Atlanta that happened in the 1980s. So Mr. Strozier has a lot of good information for you. And when it's all said and done, his message is really quite simple. He says, if a man will think right, then he'll act right. And if he acts right, his life will go right. So here's Mr. Johnny Strozier, and I thank you for tuning in with us tonight on Human Rights Demand.
I mean,
Love Talk Radio.
No, you were down there. You
good afternoon. Welcome to Love Talk Radio. This is Mary Neal. I want to thank you for joining us today on Love Talk Radio, Human Rights Demand channel. This is Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass, who was an abolitionist during the 1800s, said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So we're here today to make a human rights demand. We know that there are many people who are incarcerated throughout this nation. In fact, America has more people behind bars than any other country in world history. And
Some of these individuals are incarcerated, although they're innocent. Some are actually innocent because they did not do the crimes they're charged with. Others are innocent by reason of insanity. Some of them were charged so early in life that they should not have been so harshly charged. In other words, there are many people who are overly sentenced because this is a prison profiteering nation. However, some people actually did the crimes that they were charged with, and they served their time, and they have come out of prisons and jails, and now they're ready to resume life as your neighbors and mine. And we always want to welcome our returning brothers and sisters and help ease their way as far as returning to useful members of society. Because these people have the same human rights as you and I, and Hebrews 13:3 says that we must be mindful of how we treat prisoners. We must treat their bodies as though they are our very own. So especially for Christians, we are to welcome our people who are coming out of prisons and jails as though we would want that welcome ourselves. Now, we have a person right now on the phone, and this is his show. His name is Jenny Strozier, J-O-N-N-Y, Strozier, S-T-R-O-Z-I-E-R. Jenny Strozier was sentenced to prison at age 10. He spent 46 years behind bars. And no, he never killed anyone. No, he never did. However, he did a number of offenses while locked up that added time to his sentence, and he ended up being there 46 years. In the 1980s, something happened to Jenny Strozier. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. After that point, everything changed for him. Everything changed. And he is a new creature in Christ. And I want him to talk to you right now about himself and about the idea that we are to help prisoners prepare to re-enter society, and once they have been released, we should make things easier for them so that they can stay out of jails and prisons and they can be our own productive neighbors. So hello there, Mr. Strozier. How are you today?
How you doing today, Ms. Mayor? I'm doing fine.
I'm doing very well, thank you. Wonderful. It's such a blessing to be on the radio show with you today. And if you don't mind, I'm going to sit back and listen to you because we're aware that you have a number of stories to tell that give information. We want to thank you that your previous broadcast, you told us about your conversion to Jesus Christ, and you told us some of the things that you experienced while you were behind bars. It is my understanding that your last 8 months of incarceration in Macon prison here in Georgia, you were the roommate of Wayne Williams, who is the noted person who was convicted of the Atlanta child killing. So I'm going to just leave you to talk about whatever you want to, and we thank you for coming on the air today.
Yes, ma'am. I want to thank you and thank y'all for letting me come on, and thank God for giving me the opportunity to tell my story, the true story about my experience and what happened to me in the Georgia prison system. I just want to say, you know, that to all the men that over the last 8 months of my time in Georgia prison system, I did time at Macon State and Hancock State Prison. Well, my roommate was none other than Mr. Wayne Williams. As me and Mr. Wayne Williams were roommates, you know, they was Mr. William was charged with the Atlanta child killing in Atlanta back in the 70s. But while I was in the room with Mr. Wayne William, I noticed that Mr. William had found God himself. You know, and even though that what he went through and what he was going through, he was still holding up as a strong black man in the Georgia prison system. I got to know this man real well, and me and him became real good friends, went to church together, prayed together, and we became real close friends. I learned about his situation and how they had really just railroaded him into the Georgia prison system. Well, you know, being a young man as myself, you know, I did over 46 years in prison. I met a lot of men in prison while I was there. You know, a lot of guys that came to the Georgia prison system. You know, Georgia have over 80,000 men incarcerated. And 95% of those 80,000 is young black men, under 21. And while I was there, I remember at one prison I encountered that some more inmates were trying to molest another inmate. And I remember getting up out of my bed because I was a young inmate, and I was saying, hey, man, what's going on? And I noticed that these guys had put a note on this young man's box, and they were saying that they was going to rape him. So I went over to my box, reached down to try to open my combination lock to get my weapon out. Back then, they called them shanks, but, you know, they're known in society as knives. Well, you can make a knife out of anything, a piece of wood. You can make a knife out of a piece of wood, a toothbrush, anything. So I reached down in my box to get my homemade prison shank. And when I came up, someone hit me with an iron pipe upside my head. Well, they knocked me out, but when I was falling back, I could see the guy was coming towards me with a homemade shank getting ready to kill me. Well, I almost went unconscious, but thank God he brought me back in conscious. So I started running for the door. And when I got to the door, I passed out. I found out I had a concussion. And, you know, I remember staying in the hospital in Augusta for over about 6 months trying to recover from that injury. The whole while I was in, I thought about this guy that hit me with this pipe. And my whole mind was on this one guy. I wanted to get back so I can get this guy. But, you know, when I came out of the hospital, they put me right back in solitary confinement. Not because of what I had did, or they were thinking about what I was going to do. So I was put in solitary confinement where I live in a 4x5 cell. You know, but being in prison, you know, people will label you because they see that you live in one way, or you ain't thinking the way they want you to think, or you ain't walking like they want you to walk, and they'll say, oh, that man crazy. So then, you know, you'll be labeled as a mental health inmate. I remember being in my cell. I remember being put in that cell. I remember while I was in that cell, I thought about just killing myself. You know, I got to tell it like it is in the whole story because it's a true story. I remember getting up, me and my bus partner one night, and both of us took boot shoestrings, and we tied around our neck, and we made a promise to each other that we was going to jump. So we both hung ourselves at the same time. We put the string around our neck, and we jumped at the same time. But my boy partner, he killed himself. I didn't die. But the boot string cut so deep in my throat and my neck that it almost cut my windpipe. But I remember laying in the hospital, you know, saying to myself, man, I could have died. You know what I mean? I remember being in a prison hospital. I remember seeing that how the officers used to come to inmate cell and go in and beat them half crazy. A lot of inmates weren't crazy. They was just been they've been beat and mistreated so much that they just gave up. They just didn't, you don't feel no pain no more, you know. I remember one night, you know, while I was in prison hospital trying to recover from my injury of committing suicide, I remember a man hollering and telling the officers that he was having a heart attack and for somebody to get help. I remember the whole cell block raising hell, trying to get the officers, trying to summon the officers in the cell block so they can get this man some help. And I remember the officer coming in, looking at him, and walked back out the door. So 10, 15, 20 minutes later, when the officer came back, found the man had a major heart attack and died. You know, in prison, they think that a Tylenol going to cure everything. If you get sick and you say, call medical, I'm sick. You know, they'll say, tell them to take 2 Tylenol and sign a sick call slip in the morning. Well, you might not make it till in the morning. I've seen a lot of men while I was in prison that did not make it till in the morning. I've seen a lot of mental health inmates kill themselves because they couldn't make it till in the morning. You know, being in prison, I've seen a lot of men kill themselves because the administration had beat and mistreat them, and they couldn't make it till in the morning. You know, so while I was in solitary confinement for 15 years, I just became to be one of the most notorious inmates in the Georgia prison system. Not only was I known by the warden, I was known by the commissioner of the state of Georgia. You know, I remember one night before he became the commissioner, he was telling me that I seen 5 inmates got killed in 1 month. I seen one inmate got his throat cut. I seen another inmate got killed over a pack of cigarettes. I've seen 2 inmates kill each other over an argument. You know what I'm saying? So when I seen the inmates got killed, I told the warden he didn't have no security. I said, you ain't got no security. I said, your officers are letting me come kill you. So what happened was I made me a homemade shank. I stuck it in my pants. I went and seen the warden. The officers let me walk through every metal detector with a fiberglass butcher knife. I walked right into the warden office. I could have went in there and killed the warden, but that wasn't my purpose. I went in there, and I told the warden he didn't have no security. And I put the knife on his desk and told him, you did. You'll also let me come kill you. That's how easy it was to kill somebody in the Georgia prison system. I've seen officers kill inmates and then say, they'll call their mom and daddy and tell their mom and daddy that your son was found dead when they really be the one that done killed him. So by me knowing so much about the Georgia prison system, I'm the true story of the Georgia prison system is in my head from what I seen. And because I knew so much is because they kept me in prison so long. They did not want me to get out. I wasn't mean to get out. But you know, 15 years in the Georgia State Prison, a man came to my door that told me about a man that can change me. I didn't know this man. I didn't know who this man was or how to accept this man. I had never had that kind of experience with anyone. But a man came to me and he said, the warden told me you were the worst inmate in the Georgia prison system. He said, but I know a man that can change you. Well, I said, man, and when he told me who that man was, I said, well, who would that man can change me? You know, I'm the baddest man in the camp. Don't nobody mess with me. He said, I know a man named Jesus Christ who can change you. I said, man, if you don't get away from my door talking that Jesus Christ mess, I know something. So the man left. But that night while I was in that cell, the Holy Spirit dealt with me like the Holy Spirit never dealt with a man in his life. You know, I sat in that cell all night long trying to figure out who was really making me feel the way I was feeling, and I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it off no way, form, fashion. But you know, the next morning when that man came and when that preacher came back in that cell block, and I called that preacher to my door, and I told that preacher that I was tired of living the way I was living, and I wanted to try Jesus. I said, let me try Jesus. I said, teach me how to accept the Lord and Savior. Teach me how to say the surrender's prayer. And we said the surrender's prayer. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been wanting to get out of this cell block. I've been in here 15 years. I said, but the warden said I'd never leave this cell block. Only way I leave is I go home or they put me in a pine box and tote me out. But he said, let's pray about that. So we started praying, and about 15 minutes later, they hollered across the intercom through the cell block and told me, Mr. Stroger, pack your stuff. You going to general population. Well, I moved out of general population. And I thank God that God moved me. Well, I sat in church for 3 years, stiff like a dead man on the back rope. Wouldn't make a sound. But you know, when the preacher say anybody got a testimony, I'm sitting back there with my arm folded tight. And he said, anybody want to make a testimony? And I know that the Holy Spirit raised my hand up in the air because I didn't do it. And I went up to the front of the church, and the words just started coming out of my mouth without me even speaking the words. They were just start coming out. And so I've been giving my testimony for over 35 years about how prison is. You know, I know that me and Miss Mary were talking one day, and we were talking about mental health inmates and solitary confinement and how men being mistreated in prison, how a whole lot of stuff occurred inside the prison system. But, you know, I thank God, you know, that he molded, trained, and repaired me for the outside. Because if I hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, when I did, I wouldn't be sitting right here talking on this radio show or have my own show talking on it, telling people about my experience inside the Georgia prison system. Prison is the same everywhere. Every prison that listen to my voice know that I'm telling the truth, know that I'm telling it like it is, and that is the way I want to tell it, like it is. No cut on it, you know what I mean? I talk about a lot of things, you know. Basically, I talk about is our young black men that's going to prison, our young black men that's being killed in the streets of Atlanta. You know, we got to, as a people, we got to stop the violence. We got to stop the violence. We got to start respecting each other as black men. People see a change in us because God can work a thing in you like he worked in me. You know, it's the inner man of the man that people want to see. Stop trying to play the gangster role and the thuggish role, being a gangbanger, not listen to your mother and your father, doing all this crazy mess, and just start accepting God. Once you start accepting God, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you the way that you need to go. You're going to know exactly what you need to know. You know, I just thank God, you know what I mean, that he's using me in the right way, you know what I mean? And I want people to be able to call in and ask questions because I'm ready to answer some questions. I want to know what is on the mind of the public. You know, if you have something that you need to know or something that I can answer a question, I want you to call in. I want the audience to call in and we can be able to answer these questions and let you know about your loved one and how you can deal with the situation. I was there for 4 to 6 years, and I'm out now, and I'm ready to talk. Miss Mary? I want to...
Well, Mr. Stroger, thank you so much for that wonderful presentation, and you are ready to answer questions. And I want the radio audience to know that they can call in at 347-857-3293. Again, that's 347-857-3293. I have a question myself, Sister Stroger.
Yes,
I know,
ma'am?
That we have a horrible recidivism rate in America. In fact, 67.5% of the inmates who leave prison return within 3 years. I want to know what sort of things, what sort of changes do you feel like could be made in the prisons to give people a better outlook for staying free once they're free? Now, we'll talk about the changes that could be made in the community next time, but right now, I would like to know what sort of changes could be made in the prisons while the men and women are incarcerated that you feel would make a difference as far as their success when they come out. Thank you.
Okay, man, I'll ask that question. Man, I think that the better thing to change a man from coming out of prison is you got to change the man while he's in prison. You know, you got to have some programs set up where a man can go to school. You know, I know that in the state of Georgia, I don't know about the other states, but I did time in the other states, so I'm going to speak on the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia, you know, we don't have any programs here in the Georgia prison system. A man can't earn a degree in prison. You can't go to school and earn a degree in the Georgia prison system. See, it used to be called Georgia Department of Correction. Well, they don't call it no more. They call it the Georgia Prison. You know, they don't change the name to Georgia Prison. You don't have no opportunities to go to prison and you get a degree. You can get an associate degree or a bachelor's degree or whatever you want to get while you're in prison. You better yourself in there. Most of the prison here in Georgia is full up with young black men, young gangs that is taking rapidly, that is running through the Georgia prison system. All the stabbing, the black-on-black crime, they don't want to know nothing about that. See, the Georgia prison system is designed to keep the black man in the Georgia prison system. Keep him down. So I'm saying, keep your foot on his head. Now, when they release you, they come out of prison, they're going to give you $25. You might do 70 years in the Georgia prison system. You might do 40 years, 30 years. Most of the guys I've been doing time with on DVD 30, 35, or 40 years already. And when you come out, they're going to give you $25, and that's all you're going to have. So if you come out with $25 and there's no way you can get a job because of a crime you done committed 4 to 5 years ago, then they say, well, you can't have this job because you murdered a man 40 years ago, or you raped a woman 25 years ago, or you did this here 27 years ago. So if you can't get a job in the state of Georgia, you come out with $25, what you know what you're going to do, Miss Mary? You're going to go try to find you a pistol, you're going to buy you a gun, and you're going to go try to rob some, or you might murder somebody in the process of trying to get you some money so you can survive. There's no job set up in the Georgia. And nowhere to live. You know, you come out to Georgia prison, so if your whole family done died, you ain't got nowhere to live. You got to go down there and live on the bridge or live on the street. They're not helping the inmates that is coming out to Georgia prison system. They just throwing them out here. That's why they return them back to prison. If you put a man, if you take a dog and you put him in a cage and you don't feed him, and when you open the gate up, you know what he gonna do? He gonna run out of there. You know what I'm saying? He's going to go try to find him something to eat if you don't feed him. Well, that's what it means coming out the Georgia prison system. They're coming out and they're going right back in because it's better in the Georgia prison system than it is on the street. You got a place to live in there. They're going to give you a bath. You're going to take a shower every day. You're going to have some clean clothes. They're going to wash your clothes free. They're going to let you go to the store. You're going to go to church. You're going to live comfortable in the Georgia prison system, and you ain't got to worry about coming out here standing on the street corner begging somebody with a cup, or sleeping on the street, or sleeping up under the bridge, or trying to rob somebody because you ain't got nothing and you can't get a job. And they said, well, you can't have a job because you're a convicted felon. Well, half of the state of Georgia is convicted felons. Half of the world is convicted felons. I don't know one perfect person that was ever on the earth, and that was Jesus Christ. Everybody done did something wrong in their life. You might have not got caught. I might have got caught. But everybody deserves a second chance in life. See what I'm saying?
No apartment will let you move
in. Yeah, and then, you know, you got the, when you come out of prison, you can't even get an apartment. Let's say you want to live in a nice apartment. Let's say you got a job, you live in a nice apartment. You know, they don't even want you in a Section 8 apartment. You can't even get in a government apartment. So if you can't get in a government apartment, you know you can't get no house. You follow what I'm saying? So who going to give you a place to live when you come out of prison? Who going to give you a job when you come out of prison? You know, it's a struggle out here. You know, I've been out here for 1 year. I did 46 years in prison. Most of my life, most of my young life, I ain't even got a violent street record in the state of Georgia. But I got a violent street record in prison. But, you know, when you come out here in society, you know, people going to look down on you. They're going to put you down. They ain't going to want to give you no job. You're going to be doing all sorts of crazy mess. You can't get no food. You can't get no food stamps. You know what I mean? I know you heard about the state of Georgia, the backlog on the food stamps. You got people getting out of prison now, but they're caught up in the backlog, but they can't get no food. You know what I mean? So now if you can't get no food stamp, you can't get no clothes, you can't get nothing. So you throw it out of prison. They throw you out of prison on parole or you discharged, and guess what you got to do? You got to come out here and try to make it. You can't fake it. You got to make it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't make it, you're going to return to prison like a dog, like it said in the Bible when it said that a dog will return to his vomit. You follow what I'm saying? And this is what most young men...
I do follow what you're saying. And I want to interrupt right now, Mr. Sturger, and let our radio audience know that we have added time now to our program. I did not add time to Mr. Stroger's program tonight, but from now on, the Human Rights Demand channels will be on the air for 2 hours each program. And I'm real sorry I didn't get to add the time to Mr. Stroger's program tonight. So he will be going off the air in 1.5 minutes. So if you want to call, you need to call now. 347-857-3293. Now, the thing is that we're going to be talking on air for another 15 minutes. So you will have time to talk to Mr. Stroger one-on-one and get his opinions, get his information. And I would like for him to right now give you an email address so that you can talk to him. And then please come back at the end of another 15 minutes and get the URL for the whole show. Mr. Stroger, go ahead and give the audience your email address so they can call you. Some of them might want you to come to their churches and speak to their young people.
Ma'am, can you repeat that again?
My email address? Yes.
My email address?
Ms. Stroger.
Stroger Jenny.
I can give it to her. It's Jenny Aura Stroger, and that's J-O-H-N-N-Y, the letter R, period, Stroger, S-T-R-O-Z-I-E-R, at gmail.com. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Stroger. You have another 15 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. I got my wife is sitting right here with me, you know, and she was a lady that I met while I was in prison. I married her while I was in prison. And we've been together now since 2000. We met in 2000, but we got married in 2005. And she's a strong black woman, you know what I mean, that seen something in me that made me see something in myself. You know, it was a motivational thing that brought me out. I thank God that she put me in my life because if I had came out of prison, like so many, many other men do with nothing, I probably would have been going right back. You know, that just tell the truth about this thing. You know what I mean? Ain't no cut on it. You know, I know if I had got out of prison, if I had no family out here in society, no one that I could talk to, no one that could show me any love and affection, I probably would have went out there. I probably would have came out of prison, got me a gun, and I probably would have tried to get the most money that I probably could. I probably just went right back. That's as quick as I could have got out. But I got out with a will to stay out. You know, I found out that a sit back is only a sit up. You know what I mean? So if you want to be successful in society, I advise all men all over the world, when you get out, make it up in your mind that you're going to stay out. Do what you got to do. If you can't get a job, make a job. Me, myself, I came out, I started cutting grass. If I can cut grass in the Georgia prison system, surely I can cut grass on the street. I cut grass from here to Mexico if I have to. You know what I mean? And whatever I got to do, I'm right now I just got another kind of job. A lady asked me to clean her house. Well, if I can be a dawn all in prison, surely I can clean a house on the street. You know what I'm saying? I do what I got to do. You know what I mean? I just keep it real and do what I got to do. You know, I know God going to take care of me because I'm out here trying to do the right thing and live the right way, not go back to prison. I think that when you get out of prison, you know, you should stay out. You know, I don't hold nothing against the society for putting me in. I don't hold nothing against the justice system. I don't hold nothing against anyone. I made a mistake. I went to prison. There's an old saying go. You remember an old TV show, Beretta used to come on TV. Beretta used to say, if you do the crime, you ought to be able to do the time. I did the crime, and I did the time, and I didn't cry about it. So I say to everyone, as I always say every time I'm on the air, if you think right, you will act right. So I'm going to say that to say this here. I'm going to say I love everyone out there. I love all my brothers behind bars and all my sisters behind bars. And I want y'all to know I love y'all. I'm praying for y'all. And I hope everything work out for y'all. And I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing and telling the truth and telling it like it is on the Johnny Stroger Show. Okay, I want to say, Miss Mary, I want to say good night, peace, and may God bless everybody. Miss Mary?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the first Johnny Stroger show. That was his introductory show, Johnny Stroger, Keeping It Real. He fights recidivism in the USA. Johnny Stroger, who was himself a prisoner for 46 years in the Georgia prison system. You see that he is not bitter. He accepts responsibility for what he did that made him a prisoner, and he's ready to speak to your churches, your civic groups. He's ready to speak to young people about avoiding prison, and he's ready to speak to your members who may have been incarcerated at some point, but who are now trying to re-enter society and become model citizens. I told you about one of our friends here who joined the Human Rights for Prisoners March, and he is a practicing psychologist who was once himself a prisoner. So there is life after prison. You just have to embrace it. You may have to get rid of some of your previous associations and just stand up and do the right thing. As Jenny Stroger said, if a man will think right, then he'll act right. And if he acts right, then his life should go right. Now, we know that some people who are incarcerated are wrongfully convicted. As a matter of fact, between 5,000 and 10,000 individuals are wrongfully convicted every year in America, according to the statistics. So, we also know that a good many people with mental illness are wrongfully incarcerated. Even if they did the offense, they should not be imprisoned. They should be in treatment, either in mental hospitals or community care, depending on their offenses. Not everybody who's mentally ill belongs in community treatment. Not everybody who's mentally ill belongs in assisted outpatient treatment programs, because the crimes that they may have been accused of and may have been proved against them could be extreme violent crimes. And we wouldn't want people who have severe mental illness and who have already done things like Mr. Andre Thomas down in Texas. He allegedly cut out his wife's heart and his two children's hearts, put them in his pocket, and took them home and put them in plastic bags and put them in his freezer. And then he stabbed himself, and he went to the police department to report what he had done. This man has severe mental illness, and he should be in a hospital. Instead, he ate his eye while he was waiting for trial. He ate his eyeball. And while he was in prison on Texas death row, he ate his other eyeball. So now Andre Thomas is completely blind on top of being mentally ill. And the judge says, we know you're mentally ill, Andre Thomas. We know that you're mentally ill, but you will die for what you did. You will be executed. Now, Amy, that's Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, objects to executions of mentally ill people. As a matter of fact, we object to executions of anyone, but especially those who are mentally ill or who are retarded. We think that those people should be exempt from execution, and so does the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know why these people sit back and let so many folks who are mentally ill or who are retarded or have an IQ below 70 suffer the death penalty. It is evil, and it should not be tolerated. Now, Amy, that's Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, will take the USA before the UN, that is International Court. And if you've had a relative who's been executed and he was mentally ill or she was mentally ill, then please contact us, because we're going to try to get restitution for families, and we're also going to try to get the United Nations to enforce, or at least to suggest, changes that America needs to make regarding mentally ill people. I don't think that mentally ill people should be preserved in their untreated states, denied treatment, so that they can prove they're a danger to self and others by hurting someone. And we're also going to represent families of people who have been hurt by mentally ill people who were denied treatment. For instance, when you think about people like the young man in Santa Barbara, whose family had called police and told police that they were afraid for him because they knew about his scary videos that he was making, claiming that he would hurt girls for not dating him. They knew about his violent streak, and they called police, but police did not respond appropriately. Therefore, he was allowed to actually go out and kill six people in Santa Barbara, and he also ran over a number of people with his car. No, Gun control will not resolve America's mental health crisis. This young man killed three people with a knife. He ran over numerous people with his car, and then he shot and killed three people. So just gun control will not address balance from mentally ill people who are denied treatment. With that said, I want to say that most mentally ill people are really quite gentle. They don't hurt nearly as many people as they get hurt. As a matter of fact, people with mental illness comprise some 50% of the police violence victims in the USA, 50% or better. So look online for that. AIMI, A-I-M-I versus USA. We have claimants meetings the first weekend of every month. That's the first Saturday and first Sunday at 3 p.m. I'm sorry, the first Saturday and first Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern time. 12 p.m. Eastern time. That's 9 o'clock Pacific in the morning, 9 o'clock, and it's 10 o'clock Mountain in the morning, and it's 11 o'clock Central in the morning, and it is 12 noon Eastern. So please join us at AIMI versus USA so that we can know that you're interested in joining the claimants to AIMI versus USA. So thank you, Johnny Strozier, for your introductory lecture regarding recidivism, how to avoid it, and teaching young people how to avoid incarceration. We thank you so much for your insight on that. Some of you have been incarcerated, and you might have good, valuable information about how to avoid what happened to you. How to avoid what happened to you. Young people need to know. They need to know that you can avoid jail, you can avoid prison if you want to. All you have to do is walk the straight and narrow. You know, sometimes people have been wrongfully incarcerated as a result of the company they keep. Also, some people have been wrongfully incarcerated for no more than how they looked. You wear your hoodies, you wear your pants down past your buttocks, and then you wonder, why are you being targeted? Now, I'm not saying it's right to target people who are wearing hoodies and who are wearing pants down past their buttocks, but I'm saying that you know and I know that it is done. So since you know and I know that wearing certain clothes or wearing your clothes a certain way will result in incarceration or profiling, why would you dress like that? Why would you try to attract police? I also want you to know that anywhere more than two young black men are gathered together, that's a problem. Don't get a bunch of friends to ride with in your car. Don't get a bunch of friends. Only have one other young black man riding with you in your car, and you will be a lot safer. Also, we know that crime increases after 1 o'clock a.m. Crime increases after 1 a.m. Why would you be the one that they pull over and accuse you of being the young man or young woman who was just involved in a robbery? You couldn't be falsely accused if you were at home at 1 a.m. If you, young man, young woman, were at home at 1 a.m., if you're not at home, then make sure you're just getting off from work so that the police officer can call your job and verify that the reason you're out is because you just left your job. You know, that's the important thing. Avoid the very appearance of evil, the Bible says. I'm not saying it's right for you to be targeted if you wear your clothes a certain way. I'm not saying it's right for you to be targeted if you got three or four high school friends or college friends and you're out together. It's not right. It's not right. But since you know it happens, avoid the very appearance of evil. Avoid it. And so we want to thank you for joining us on the Johnny Strozier Keeping It Real broadcast. My name is Mary Neal. I'm director of Human Rights Demand. We're on air Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. I said 3 p.m. Today we're on later. And after this show at 9 p.m. Eastern, I will come on the Center Stage broadcast, Block Talk Radio, where we will discuss the Ebola virus. Many of you have opinions and information regarding the Ebola virus. What's your opinion about it? Give us a call at Center Stage here at Blog Talk Radio, and let's discuss the Ebola virus starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's in about an hour. 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we will be discussing the Ebola virus. And I think that that's an important topic for all of us. If you have professional knowledge about the Ebola virus, or if you have opinions about it, then why not call Center Stage in less than an hour and discuss it? The telephone number at Center Stage is 347-850-8390. Again, the telephone number to call Center Stage and talk about Ebola virus in less than an hour is 347-850-8390. And this is Human Rights Demand that you just listened to, and I thank you for joining us. Now, both these shows are live on air September 19th, 2014. That's September 19th, 2014. And if you miss this show, Human Rights Demand, or if you happen to miss the discussion regarding Ebola virus at Center Stage, just go to Blog Talk Radio and look for their shows that air at September 19th, 2014. Now, the one for Center Stage is dated September 20th in the link, but that's because sometimes shows are not prepared to be listened to, the tape may not be prepared and ready to listen to until the next day when a show comes on late. So you can join us there at Center Stage. Come back Monday for Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass, a great abolitionist, said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will. So we make a human rights demand to improve reentry opportunities for people who are exiting prisons and jails, and we ask our exiting prisoners to improve yourselves. Remember, if a man will think right, then he'll act right, and if he acts right, then his life will go right. So, that's not the rule, but that happens in so many lives. Just change yourselves. You may not be able to change the system, but change your associates, change your schedule, and change yourselves. Change your attitude. So God bless you, and we will see you on Human Rights Demand Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. God bless you, and come again. Let's listen to a little Bob Marley. He says, One Love.